Moncrief on News Talk.
As you can tell, we've been joined in studio by Barbara Scully and Aideen O'Connell. And we're going to answer your queries now for So You Think You're an Adult.
Are we? Yeah, we don't usually.
That is the plan.
We just bat them around usually.
We'll debate your queries.
We debate them, really. I'm not sure how often we
I wouldn't call myself an adult whatsoever.
Wouldn't dream
at all.
It.
No.
I did want to ask you, though, before you mentioned you met Keith Barry outside and that he once hypnotised you.
He did hypnotise me,
How easy was that for him?
He just touched something in my neck.
And that was
That was it. Now, he said a few words. He kind of kept repeating something. And then my neck just collapsed between my knees. I was on a stage. I was actually in the Rose of Tree at the time. I was the Kerry Rose.
You were in the Kerry Rose.
I was the Kerry
Rose. That's
much
more interesting.
Well, we've learned so much.
I tell you. But you were the Kerry Rose.
And he came to the... We had like a ball night in Kildare. And he came. And we were given the option of who wants to go ahead. So like all the girls just pointed at me. I was...
Guinea pig.
I was the guinea pig, so of course I went up, and there was something else there, but I can't remember, and I honestly think I can't remember because he put me under. But like,
see,
proper, and
the
girls said, like,
frightened.
And the girls, like, you put it on, and I was like, genuinely, no, like, I went.
And you've no memory of what happened then, have you?
I've no memory of what he was saying. I don't really remember the other thing he did.
I could not do that.
I'm very mistrustful of him. I'm very nervous around him.
I think he'd like look into my brain and he'd know my secrets. Even when he was looking at me outside, I was like, are you reading?
He guessed the name of my first
brain.
Girlfriend.
He was?
Yeah, in this studio, sitting where you are.
He guessed the name of your
first girlfriend.
Was it Mary? No.
I'm not going to tell you. No.
Everybody your age was called Mary.
No, not far off, but no. Anyway, listen, enough of that. When I heard he'd hypnotised you, I was very... Because I'd be afraid of him.
He was looking at me outside and I was like, what are you seeing?
Other times he'd be a witch. He'd be called a witch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sorry, exactly.
I don't like the slur on witches there.
Oh, we're gone into a whole... Yeah. I meant to say a warlock.
Yeah.
I meant to say somebody with supernatural powers.
I mean, he is amazing. What he does is amazing. I just wouldn't like to be the victim. That's not the right word. The subject of his hypnosis.
No, it's scary.
I don't like not being in control.
Will he survive it?
Well, that's questionable.
The listeners need help. So can we just move on?
Go.
Okay. There's a lot of red flags in this first one, may I say. Certainly I see them as red flags anyway. Several months ago, I was at a wedding in Boston where I met an American man. Since then, we've been dating long distance. There's your first one there now. The only problem is he is a Trump supporter. I would consider myself a feminist and I don't align myself with any of Trump's policies. But... he's tall, dark, handsome, extremely intelligent, and really puts in the effort. He treats me better than any Irish man I've ever been with and is surprisingly supportive of my career. I found that a bit odd too. He has been to Ireland numerous times to see me and has invited me to a family wedding in Sligo at the end of the summer, which I've said yes to. He's been quiet enough about his support for Trump, but his brothers were over a few weeks ago and the same cannot be said for them. I really, really like this lad, but I don't know if I could become involved with a man whose family wear MAGA hats, in their Christmas cards. Wow. Can love blossom across the political divide?
No, girl. Straight up. There is actually the simplest answer to this. No, you can't. And as you said, it started off wrong. Any story I've ever heard about a girl meeting an American man and doing long distance has never ended well. Ever. There's so many other issues now outside the Trump thing. But the Trump thing is the biggest issue here. And when it comes to like political opinions, right? Okay, you can maybe gloss over like fiscal opinions on fiscal matters, blah, blah. But when it comes to like, you know, when you look at marriage or abortion or anything like that, you need to be on the same page, I think, as your partner. I think you should. I don't, personally for me anyway, it would not work. And like this is on another level now. Like this is, I'm really sorry to any Americans, but like, I just think if you do support Donald Trump, I don't understand it. The man can barely speak. He can barely put a sentence together. So I don't know what I feel comfortable being with someone who is involved with that. And then also, look, I know he's tall, dark and handsome. And I know you're saying, but there are men out there.
Well,
there are good men out there and you don't have to go to America.
No Irish man so far has ticked those boxes with quite that degree.
I mean, there's a couple of things she says. Like, well, number one, to answer the question, can love really blossom across the political divide? Yes, of course it can. Look at our government, a coalition of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Yes.
Like, you know,
it's not really a divide.
It wasn't that.
They're two sides of the same fence.
They are now. Yes. But I mean, I'm sure back in the day there were people saying, oh, I don't know if this is going to survive because I'm Fine Gael and he's Fianna Fáil. They were seen as very much on opposing sides. Going right back to the treaty. Do you know what I mean? But so it, in general, the answer is yes. But I think, as you said, Aideen, like then you've Trump and that's a whole different kettle of fish. And I mean, I would also two things I would say about her letter, which freaked me out. Number one, I would consider myself a feminist, but I don't align with his policies. Does Trump actually have
any
policies? And number one, like his attitude to women, there are a number of women who have sued him.
People who support him are probably supporting him for economic. I know a lot of people who support
him. That's not even right because the American economy is tanking. And the other thing is he's extremely intelligent. Yeah. I don't believe anybody who supports Donald Trump could be called extremely intelligent.
You can't say that because he lies the whole
and if you're going to believe those lies.
We see a particular picture of him and I think
I've heard
loads of people who would support him. I would see a different, you know, a different appeal in his thing. I think more the question is, can you have that in the same household? It's not a debate on Trump. It's a debate on whether you can have different views to me.
See, if it comes to a stage where this keeps going right, she goes to that wedding in Sligo and they fall madly in love and then she moves over to America and then she is in this family. And as she said, he isn't as vocal as, say, the brothers are.
Yeah.
Can you actually... do you think you could deal with that for the rest of your life? Do you think you could sit at a table?
Also, what does it say about him, this man, as a person, if he thinks Donald Trump is somebody to be admired, to even be voted for? But I'm sorry, I totally disagree with you.
71 million Americans felt the same way.
But again, if you go into the American electoral system, the majority of people didn't vote for Trump. It's the way the electoral college is done.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can argue all this back and forwards, but Trump is a warmonger. He's a bully.
See, you just have an issue
idiot.
With Trump.
And he's a liar.
You're not really answering the question.
Excuse
of
me now.
Go across the
Excuse me now. I've answered the question. You can.
You said
but
you
Trump is different. Trump is different. I would run a mile. I agree with Aideen. I think
some listeners might weigh in slightly now more for Trump. So what if he supports Trump? If you're immature and can't get past somebody's politics, remember he may not agree with your politics, but he seems to be tolerant of you. It says more about him or her than him, says David in Galway. Tell her to marry the Trump supporter. Once married, like all women, she can tell him what to think. Yes.
Like, that's a high cult. But you've got a whole family there.
No,
you can't just see. We're a country where many, many Catholics have married many, many Protestants down the years. A divide which, in some minds, was absolutely unbridgeable
back in the day, but not anymore. It's the same with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. No. It's not anymore. So things change.
That is too judgmental. It should not be a make or break issue. I know lots of educated women who voted for Trump. You can't brand people for one thing. I'm with you, Aoife, in Galway. I think
that's fine. If she was a Trump supporter, yeah, fine, whatever. But like, she's clearly not. She doesn't agree with Trump's policies. I just don't think you could get past that.
Even if you park his policies in inverted commas, right? And his warmongering and his bullying to other countries and his complete lack of any kind of diplomacy. If you even park that, listen to how he treats women. Leaving aside the legal cases.
So you're marrying Trump. Again, you're telling her not to marry Trump.
I'm telling her
Barbara.
Not to marry a man.
Honestly,
Have you seen the way he treats female journalists in press conferences?
We're talking about whether
but
she can marry this tall,
Trump.
Dark, handsome man.
I think at the end of the day here, because I know what it's like. If you get into a conversation with Americans, at the start, you never know what their political leanings are. Mm. But the minute you get into politics, shit hits the fan. Like it does. They're very intense. They're very in your face about it. She has to sit back and realize, can she actually do that?
Balanced views, 53106 for that, or on WhatsApp, 087-1400-106. Let us know there, you know, because it's not actually Donald who's trying to marry this woman. It's the man who just voted
He's a man who thinks Donald is somebody to look up to and vote for and have as president of your
country. Many other qualities to him as well. May not be quite that one-dimensional. Nah. Well, we talk about the financial controller.
Let's cheer ourselves up. Let's go to a lighter one.
My wife and I have two young children. By the way, keep your text coming, 53106. At the moment, she doesn't work because she's at home looking after them, which is something we agreed made sense for our family. This means we're living on my salary alone. Like most families, we really felt the impact of inflation. The mortgage has gone up, groceries cost more each week, and there always seems to be another unexpected bill. The problem is my wife insists on having both her hands and her feet professionally manicured. So I don't mean both her hands, I mean both her hands and her feet. As opposed to one hand manicured and, you know. It costs around 110 each time, and over a year, that's 2,000 euro. I honestly don't think we can afford this particular luxury right now. I've tried explaining that I feel exactly the same. I'd feel the same if I want to spend that amount of money on golf, gadgets or nights out. It's not about the nails. It's about the fact that we're trying to make one income stretch across four people. Whenever I raise it, she says looking after the children is a full-time job, that having her nails done makes her feel good. Her friends have started telling her that I'm being financially controlling. I'm genuinely not. I'm simply saying that as a family, we have to live within our means. I don't spend freely on myself either. I've cut back on lunches out, cancelled subscriptions, put off replacing things I'd like because I know money is tight. It feels unfair that I'm expected to make sacrifices while being told I'm the villain for asking her to do the same. Am I being unreasonable? There we go now.
Okay, so the first thing I want to say, unsurprisingly, is that can we stop saying nonsense like he said in the first line about how she doesn't work anymore because she's at home looking after the children. That is work. Okay, mm-hmm. That is work. Just because it has no title and no remuneration, it is vital and it is important work. That said, I am actually very sympathetic to this man because I think he has a point. And I think that it's worth mentioning that when a couple make a decision like this, as we did when our children were young, that one parent should stay at home and run the home and look after the kids, it does actually place a stressful burden on the one who's going out to work. And I think that's very often overlooked. And in this case, and in most cases, it is the man. And when I say we did this, one of the things that we found when we were trying to live on the one salary, which, you know, money was tight, we found it necessary every probably 6 months to do what we used to call a financial summit, mm-hmm. where we both sat down and looked at the expenditure and looked at where we could tighten up a little bit. Because, as I say, money was very tight. Now, having said that, and I've said this before in this slot, I think when one parent does decide to work in the home and look after the kids and run the home, I think they are entitled, be it he or she, to, you know, to access to the bank account without having to ring your husband and say, I want to go for a manicure. Is that OK? That would be financial control. And he's not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think he's that's what he's doing. And I think like there's two truths here. Like he's totally fine, you know, to be concerned about this financial situation and not to be called financially controlling. Because when you look into what that is, this isn't what it is at all.
No, it's not.
But you can also look from her point of view, like she's at home. She's doing all of the caring. She probably thinks to herself, you know, getting her nails, as we all know, like as women know, like getting your nails under your hair, it's such a treat and it's something that you do for yourself. And that's probably what she is doing. It's her, maybe that's the time she gets out of the house.
Yeah.
She's away from the kids. You don't have to think.
Yeah.
Like you can just sit there and get your nails done. It's probably very important to her to get that done. And he maybe doesn't see that. He probably just sees it as a beauty expense.
Sure.
But I wouldn't dismiss it, because it's definitely much more from what we're seeing from her situation. So I think they need to sit down. As you kind of say, it's this kind of idea of a financial summit.
Yeah, we used
because
to.
She feels like she's being backed into a corner now, where it seems like he is the one that who's like I don't want to say like he's overseeing and deciding where the money goes, but he probably has more of an idea of where the money is going than she is, because she's obviously looking after the kids. So maybe it's the case that they sit down and like she can see it.
And he needs to understand, as you say, that very often women are doing something like this in order to carve out some time on their own, some peace and quiet. Looking after kids and running home is a 24/7 job. And I think he needs to recognise that. That said, I think having a manicure and a pedicure probably once a month when money is tight is a lot.
Yeah, look, the thing is, and there are other
ways to have her time.
Have that same time for herself.
How do you have that conversation? That sounds really hard.
Oh,
if her friends are saying, you know, he's being financially controlling.
But they're not. That's just jumping on a bandwagon thing that's out there. This is not financial control. And I think we need to be really clear about this. I think he has the responsibility of ensuring there is money every month to pay the mortgage and pay whatever, put food on the table and pay the bills. And that is hugely stressful. So I do think it is necessary for the two of them to sit down. As I say, it worked for us. And it did mean that, you know, he would say, well, like as he said, I'll cut back on lunches and I'll cancel my subscription to this, that or the other. And then she can say, well, OK, I'll only go for a manicure maybe once every 2 months.
Or like
and
just get the manicure, don't get the manicure.
Yeah.
Like choose one or the other.
I mean, who's looking at your feet in the winter anyway?
That's the thing. And actually getting like shellac on your
I can't imagine any man having that conversation with his wife. Who's looking at your feet?
No, that's what I said. Sure. I'm not suggesting he say that. No, he should not say that.
I think by the sounds of it, she feels like she's been backed into a corner.
Yes.
And then she's obviously gone to her friends frustrated because she probably is frustrated at home. And as you say, it's a full-time job looking after kids and it's not...
And I
noticed.
Think the fact that he said in the first line, she doesn't work because she's at home looking after the kids. She does work.
Actually, that is, you know what? That actually, first off, is an issue.
Yeah, it is an issue.
He needs to change his thinking on that.
He needs to start from there, acknowledging that he couldn't go out to work to earn the money if she wasn't at home doing all the other stuff without having to pay
and
a fortune in childcare.
I think it comes down to communication and compromise.
Yeah,
but it should be
if you have full transparency over bank accounts, which you should have in a situation like this, then you should be able to sit down and have a chat and go, listen, it's getting a bit tight.
This is making choices, really, isn't it? That's what it boils down to.
And you know what? The thing is, this won't last forever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This is temporary. Once the kids start school, the pressures will ease. She will have more time for herself, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's just to deal with in the now.
Yeah, and work together as a team on this.
Yeah.
And maybe get her involved in the knowledge of where that money is going.
Yeah.
Because she probably doesn't see these bills that are coming out and he's probably there sitting stressed and she's not aware of this.
Sure.
So again, if they sit down together, look through the numbers and then maybe she'll have a better idea. And then they can both, you know, make sacrifices or add something there, take away something here.
Can I just say, I think we solved that problem.
Yeah.
Which is unusual.
Yeah. There is a text in now which also solves it.
Does it?
Yeah. Well, buy a pair of gloves and socks, problem solved.
Ooh, that's from a man.
So someone goes, because Donald Trump. D-Trump signs himself. D-Trump.
Yeah, D-Trump. Yeah, excellent.
That was actually done very well, I have to say. Sometimes you don't come to a conclusion.
Yeah, no, we did. We sorted that out.
I think we should move on to the next one. We're doing
please.
So well.
Yes, no, here, we should. Yes.
My girlfriend thinks I'm a vegan. That we'll save that for a bit now. But short man problems. Oh yeah, here's one I can get behind.
Will you be okay with this now, Tom? I'm worried about you here reading
this
out.
My little legs are just swinging.
They don't reach the floor. Sure they don't.
What height are you, Tom? What height are you?
5'1".
5'8". 5'7"-ish. Yeah, you know, whatever.
In your dreams.
You know, last time
what height are you? You're about 5'5".
How dare you? Just because you're, you know,
6 foot
not
tall.
Not that ish. Honestly. God.
Oh, God.
Haven't even read two words yet.
Go on.
Gone this low. I'm 5'8", it says here. And I recently started seeing a man who's 5'6". On paper, these 2 inches shouldn't matter at all. And I hate myself that it does. The thing is, I grew up in a family where all the men were at least 6'2". My dad, brothers, uncles, cousins, all very tall. Without ever realising it, I think I've always associated masculinity with height. Every man I've dated before has been considerably taller than me too. So this is completely new territory. Every now and again, my brain just gets stuck on the fact that he's shorter than I am. If I put on heels, I tower over him. Sometimes when we're walking together, I suddenly become aware of our height difference and it feels strange, even though he doesn't seem really bothered by it. Obviously, I can't change my height, but I really want to change my mindset. There's a great start.
Yes.
Any advice?
Yeah, because so by the question, I was kind of like, is she attracted to him? But obviously she is. She just hasn't really said that out loud, but she said she does want to change her mindset on it. I think I feel so bad for him because he's walking around looking up at his lovely lady being like, she's gorgeous. And she's looking down at him being like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. I think, look, right, I know everyone has their preferences, but I think in this case, obviously they're together and she's obviously got past that and the height thing does come in a little bit. I think you kind of just need to get over it a little bit. You know what I mean? Just don't wear heels with him. You know, like they're simple. It's not a huge height difference. Like if I saw the two, they might say in person, like 5'8", 5'6". It's not that big of a gap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And actually, it's coming into style now, having a taller lady on your arm.
Is it?
Yeah, because Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Good news, Tom, huh?
There it is, yeah, it is.
Zendaya and Tom Holland.
His face is brightened up there, no end.
It's a bit late.
Look up pictures of Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Like, no dreams. Just a bit late. Thank you.
Trend. But look up pictures of Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Yeah, yeah.
And she is considerably taller than him, even without heels. She's like half a head taller than them. Then she puts on these massive Louboutin heels, the Soul Kates,
she's gone.
Huge, and she's gone into another planet. And they're happy out, the two of them. And I think maybe because it's in the public domain now, I'm getting more used to seeing that. And I've seen a few more couples as well that it doesn't. I think before it would have been like, ugh, like.
But I think
but it's a societal thing.
You've hit on a point there exactly, which I was going to say. This is a societal construct. And I mean, I identify it with it, Tom, obviously being 6 foot tall. And I remember when I was young, I wouldn't dream of looking at anybody who wasn't at least 6 foot tall and preferably 6'1 or 6'2. Because we are taught as women that we should be small. And we should be quiet. Mm-hmm. And we should not take up so much space.
And the man needs to be big. And we need a man to protect us.
And he needs to be bigger. So, I mean, I can remember coming up to my debs, having a huge, big campaign in Dunleary, Tom, in order to try and find the one or two tall guys who might be tall enough to bring me to my debs. I managed it in the end, actually, which was grand. But in the end, I married a fellow who was the same height as me. So what I'm going to say to this woman is, this problem may not, if you do decide to go the distance with him, and I think you should, because as Aideen said, you know, I think it's
a good man
it's,
is hard you, to find.
A good man is hard to find. And in my experience, my husband has now shrunk, and he is shrinking at a rapid rate.
Yeah, this happens.
Yeah, so jeez, like I'm still 6 foot tall and worried. I stand up straight, and he's only about 5 foot.
So she could shrink.
10 now. Like no, it's more likely the fellow will shrink.
Enormous understanding coming in from the listeners.
is there
really is. They're really stepping up.
They're being very compassionate. Yeah. I can feel
she'll
it in your voice.
And when he's jumping up to kiss her, she'll forget all of it.
Ah, stop.
Yeah.
Ah, stop.
It's handy for putting your drink on his head when you're out.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. If they're out for a walk, she should stop at the stairs and get him to stand and stare up from her.
I do that now with my husband. If we're taking a photograph,
the incredible shrinking husband.
We back up to steps and I say to him, you go up in the steps so you don't look like a shorty.
You're only as short as you think, lads. It's all in the head.
That's it. It's all in the head. In my head, I'm a very tall man.
All men in their heads are very tall men.
You give off the vibe of a very tall man.
What do you know of my child?
No, what Skye said to me. Who said to you?
My daughter.
Okay.
She said, you don't need to be tall, Dad. You have great aura. There
very
you go
true.
Now.
What a lovely daughter.
Exactly.
What a lovely daughter. Yeah.
So she needs to look at him and think,
it's just your aura doesn't go up very far. Like, I wouldn't see his top.
Yeah, she said.
It should be below my line of sight.
Imagine if you had a fully grown aura.
Yeah. Your aura.
How cruel is that? Zendaya is as hot as hell. I'm shocked she's going out with Tom Holland. She looks like a 14-year-old boy.
Oh dear. Oh, yeah. Gosh. I don't even know who those two people are.
From have we time?
There was the other fella. Do you remember the piano player? Was he a piano player? And he went out with the model, Sophie.
Oh my God, Jamie Bell. Was that his name? Sophie. Anders?
Yes, no, Sophie something or other. And she was very tall. She was 6 foot.
Massive. There was another person. Was he a piano player? Yeah.
I've great news for you. We do have
who's
time.
Who's the piano player
out?
And the very tall, modelly person called Sophie?
No idea.
Ask the listeners there. They'll tell
listeners,
us in a minute. Yeah.
Okay, right, my girlfriend thinks I'm a vegan. This is fantastic.
No, it's honestly, not.
It is the lens people will go to, honest to God. I found this woman I was very attracted to on the apps a month ago. Red flag number one. Her profile went on about being a vegan, so I tweaked a few bits on my own blog, red flag number two, to show that I'm a vegan too, but I'm not. I love a burger or a steak. I was forced to do this because she said only vegans need apply. Oh, well, on her headline. So it isn't my fault at all. Red flag
that
number three.
Reflect.
The trouble is, we matched and we started dating. The first few dates were fine and I was happy to order the aubergine curry or the tofu stir fry or whatever you have. But now we are 2 months in and I'm really struggling. Every Friday we get in the town and she stays over. I'm used to a Saturday morning fry up after pints the night before. I'm dying for a sausage and rashers. She insists on some avocado smoothies. How do I get out of the situation? I was thinking of telling her that my doctor wants me to go back on the meat because I need more protein, make it a medical necessity. But I don't want to lose her. There's a conundrum.
No, yeah,
that's you
not
lied
a conundrum
in it from the start.
Well.
So, like, you have dug your own hole here, I'd say, laying it.
Tissue of lies.
I heard when it said, I love the way he said, no vegans need to blight. And he was like, it wasn't
I'll
my
apply
fault.
Anyway.
Yeah.
How is that not your fault?
Yeah.
And then also, he did it. I do think it's very funny that he referred to his dating profile as a blog. What was he writing on it?
Oh, God.
They're only little prompts, like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that he lied for starters. And I think if he wants to stay with this woman, he's going to have to become either vegan or vegetarian at least, because I doubt if she's going to be happy once she knows he eats meat, whether it is for supposed medical reasons or not, which is a load of baloney. So I think once he stops eating animal flesh, she doesn't want to be, as a vegan, she does not want to be, and I speak as a vegetarian, You wouldn't kiss somebody who's just eaten a baby lamb or a pig or a duck or something like that and have it maybe bits in their teeth or have it on their breath. I would hate that. I would consider myself contaminated. So he's out of there. Unless he sticks with it, honestly, she's going to dump him as soon as he says, regardless
Because the trust is gone anyway. Like
the what?
The trust is gone. If she finds
out again, back to Trump. Like, where we go?
I know Trump would have a notion of this, but the trust is gone anyway. When she finds out, which she will, because these things always come out of the woodwork eventually, even a few years down the line. You know what I mean? Like, she won't be able to trust him because he fundamentally lied from the beginning.
Will they have 9 children? They won't be able to look back and laugh.
What's he going to be doing? Feeding them sausages?
Yeah, no, you can't.
If he wants this to continue, he has to become.
He does, yeah.
A vegan.
It's either her or his love of meat.
So, yeah.
Well, he's going to have to.
He's a choice there. He's to make either her or his love of a steak.
Yeah.
But I know of situations like this where someone, either the man or the woman, have lied about something at the beginning because they just wanted the other person to like them back. And it has never ended.
It never ends.
Especially when it comes down to the vegan thing as well.
Yeah.
People have a lot of opinions
on it. And you know what? He might get to like it. He might. And then he's helping the planet. And think of all the little animals.
It's win-win.
Is he from rural Ireland? I wonder. I'd love
Doesn't
to know.
Say.
Yeah. You're on a loser then, I reckon. There. If you're from rural Ireland, you're probably on a loser.
Yes. Only vegans need apply. What does a tall woman call a short guy?
Oh.
Friend. Yeah. Billy Joel is much smaller than Christie Brinkley.
Oh yes, that's true. Does anybody tell us who the Sophie and the piano player was?
No luck on that yet.
That was a drastic.
Tell the height obsessed texter that it all evens out when they get horizontal. It took long
enough. You see, I remember that being a thing as well. Yes.
Isn't it funny though how heightism is still the last acceptable prejudice?
Totally. Absolutely, totally. But also, my experience as a tall woman is that most men think they're taller, not looking at anybody in particular, than they actually are anyway.
It's not a great thing to be. It's not just the picture of an optimist.
I've definitely shifted a few small fillers in my time.
You're putting someone's optimism down, Barbara.
And men don't. There's a lot of men. Now, maybe this would be my generation rather than younger generations. There's a lot of men who actually get freaked out by tall women. They don't really.
Because there's the whole idea of having someone small. Now, lads, I have shifted a few small fillers back in my time. The only thing is, my only advice would be, if you are with someone smaller, just like don't wear high heels, because then if you are seen shifting them in the back of a nightclub, it does look a bit funny because you're kind of covering them. So just
I bet they didn't.
I didn't expect that to go there that quickly. Gosh.
Right, kick the vegan thing. Kick the vegan to touch, actually. If she's that demanding, poor you're shackled. Imagine
she's
what it would be like when she gets her talons into you.
She
run
does not
now.
Want to be contaminated by your animal flesh addiction.
It's a very mixed advice. One saying marry, one saying run. You know, honestly, there's no in between there, is there?
No. We're very clear today.
Thank you both. Such clear, fantastic advice today,
brilliant,
as always. Barbara, thank you. And Aidan, thank you very much indeed.
The answer was
Jamie Callum and Sophie Dowell.
Yes. Very good. Whoever said that, Sophie Dowell.
That's a drastic height difference there, actually. So look it up.
And they look kind of cute and they look
fine. But they did break up.
Oh, did they break up?
Yeah, it never ends.
So nobody lived happily ever after with the height difference.
No. Thank you very much for that.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.